Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. As said before, this chapter, as well as the whole book, the whole Bible, leads to Calvary, where Christ would be lifted up, crucified for his people. Christ, the King, King of Kings, King of the Jews, would ascend a cross. Now, a cross was an emblem of shame, but our Lord made it glorious, didn't he? A cross was meant for the lowest, for the vilest, an emblem of shame, but our Lord showed his greatest glory was when he ascended the cross, and he did it willingly. No one put him on the cross but the Father, and he willingly went up on that cross. He was lifted up. That's what the scripture says. Part of the reason why he died the death that he did, because he was lifted above the earth on the cross for all to see. He's above everyone. The one that's doing this is above us all. And what he did is beyond us all. He made that cross, as it were, a throne. A throne. A bloody, splintery piece of wood, an old tree. You remember the two trees in the garden? One was the tree of life. I have to believe that represents him, Christ, and him crucified. That cross where he ascended, he made it a throne where he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He did it all by himself, where God crowned him, as it were, with a crown of thorns, which are an emblem, which are his greatest glory. Second Adam. The second Adam. Thorns. He took these thorns with him. He put away sin. He defeated sin, death, and hell on Calvary's tree. Crushed the serpent's head right there on Calvary's tree. It's true. He made it a throne. And Calvary's tree crushed the serpent's power. Chained him. Accomplished the redemption of God's people. And he was buried. And then from that throne, that earthly tree, he ascended far above heavens, where he sat down and where he sits right now on throne, a lamb, as it had been slain. A throne. Expected. He's reigning and ruling. Sitting on that throne right now, reigning and ruling over everything and everyone. To this end, Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord of the dead and the living. None of us live to ourselves. We all live or die unto the Lord because he died to this end. God gave him a name above every name, Lord, King of the universe. He owns it all. He reigns and rules over it all. And that's where he sits, on that throne, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. His people fall at his feet. Now, it was as king that he was born. He came into this world. It was as king that man rejected him. Look at it, verses 1 through 3. The whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. Who did? Everyone did. The whole crowd, everybody did. They all said it in unison, "We have no king but Caesar. We will not have this man reign over us," didn't it? That's mankind in general. That was me. That was you. There was a time when you had no interest in God, no interest in Christ. Or if you did, it was nominal at best. But you had not yet bowed to and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You had not seen his glory. You had not seen that you're in his hand. You had not repented of your sin. And the vast majority of the world still is without repentance. And do not bow, do not see that God reigns, that Christ reigns. Do not see it. And not thankful, they do not acknowledge him as God, not repentant to give him the glory. Do not care that Christ came. They're the same as the people back then said, kill him. That's so. They did not want anyone to reign over them. That was Satan in the heavens. That was Satan. I will be king. That was Adam in the garden. I will be king and Eve. And that's man. Whenever someone talks about free will, what they're saying is, I'll be my own king. I am in charge of my destiny. I am. I will. That's what man said. No, God says, I am. And he said in Psalm 2, I will declare the decree. He said, I've set my king on my holy hill of Zion, king of the Jews. Now kiss the son, he said, lest he be angry. It was this king, they rejected him. Look at verse 2. They began to accuse him. This was his accusation. They accused him of being what he was. This fellow perverts the nation. Oh, no, 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 no. The nation's already perverted. He's come to convert. Forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. That's just not so, is it? He told them to. Saying that he himself is Christ the King. Well, before that, they kept saying, if you be the Christ, tell us plainly. He said, I told you. You believe not. You're not my sheep. As I said of you, my sheep hear my voice. They know who I am. Christ, not a king. They say he's Christ a king. Oh, he's not a king. He's the King of Kings. And Pilate asked him, verse 3, Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? Interestingly, amazingly, providentially, the only time the word king is capitalized is when they said it of him. Not in front of David's name, not in front of Nebuchadnezzar's name, not in front of Caesar's name. God had him write this, had the Spirit of God write this down. Capitalize this when you say it, because he's the king of the Jews. And Satan asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him. Oh my, just can't imagine what his voice must have been like. Standing before this puppet ruler, this petty governor, this pawn in his hands, this fellow who was Herod's wife, what trembled, standing in perfect repose, regal repose, dignity, honor, his head held high, eyes as a flame of fire, voice as the sound of many waters, said, thou sayest. Try to imagine it. You said it. Now you're accountable. Because that's who I am. That's who he is. And we brought this up before. Why do men and women and young people use God's name like they did? Why don't they use any other name? Why don't they use fictitious names? Why do they use God's name? Yeah, he's holding every person accountable that doesn't fear his name. They've heard it. And they've rejected it. But God, and such were some of you. That was me. That was it. All right, let me tell you about the king. That's what David wrote in Psalm 45. My heart's indicting a good matter. I'm speaking things concerning the king. My pen's the tongue of a ready writer. I'm speaking things concerning the king. A king today is an unknown thing. Nobody, there are no kings on this earth. They're figureheads over in Denmark and some two-bit place, you know, and they're going to put a crown on, I don't know, Charles, William, one of them, I don't know. It doesn't matter. They're not going to be a king. But it's going to be all this pomp and show, and they're going to lead him down through that. Everybody's just going to love it and call him your majesty. He has no majesty at all. Zero. And they're going to put him on a petty little throne, you know. Interestingly, in Revelation, the throne is mentioned more than any other place. Okay? There's no description of the throne. None. It doesn't say anything what the throne looked like. Nowhere. It describes him who sat on it. That he looked like a sardine stone, a jasper stone. It doesn't describe the throne. Over in 1 Kings, talks about Solomon's throne and the lions and all that, which is a picture of Christ. Thoughts ivory covered with gold. But not of his throne. Why? Because the heavens, he sits on the circle of the earth. There's no real throne that he sits on. The heavens can't contain him. Okay? Besides, nobody's going to be looking at that throne. That's why the streets are gold. People die for gold now. We're going to walk on it then. Why? Take no notice of it. Look at him. Him. No description of the throne. But just him that's sat on it. A king is an unknown thing. A kingdom is unknown today. A king, true sovereignty, is only the thing of fables and fairy tales today. True sovereignty. You know, a true sovereign, that's what the word king means. King means it. A king means an absolute sovereign ruler. Absolute means it's one only, no other. He's the only one. Nobody else has any control, any word, any say over anything. That's an absolute sovereign ruler. Okay? And there were men like that. David was, at that time, was the most powerful man on earth. He was a sovereign king. Whatever he said went. Whatever he willed, he did. Whoever he accepted was accepted. Whoever he rejected was rejected. He killed, he made alive. He wounded, he accepted. Whatever David said. Solomon next to him. Kings are not elected. You don't vote on kings. They're born that way. All right? Our God, our Lord Jesus Christ is king. Absolute sovereign ruler and controller over all things. His word goes. Whatever he says, he does. Whatever he says, everyone else does. And no one has any say about it. I heard a preacher one time preaching on the potter and the clay. He said, clay has no say. Shall the pot say to the potter, you can't do this? I just did. It's his word. Some of you are smiling. Why? You love that he reigns like this. And I love that you do. His word goes. His will. He worketh all things. A king does what he will. Why'd you do that, king? Because I did. Right? And if he's a good king, if he's a loving, kind, and gracious, and merciful king, you know what the people said about David? They said whatever he did pleased them. They loved him so much. Whatever the king did pleased the people. He said, we're going to fast. And they said, okay, we'll do it. That's his subject. And that's the last point in my message. But a king does as he will. He has his way. King has his way. We're going to do things my way. Right? That's what the king said. When the Lord looked down from heaven right before he destroyed the world with a flood, he said the whole earth had corrupted his way. And full of violence. Bloody. Violent. Not worth living. Creatures. Isn't that now? What is his way? This is his way. There is no other way. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. He's like Joseph. Pharaoh said of Joseph, if you want anything, go to him. If you need mercy, you're going to go to him. He's next in line to me. He's on the throne. I put him on the throne. That's what God said of Christ. He is your Lord. You don't make him that. I did. He's your Lord. Bow. Submit. He's kind. He's merciful. He's gracious. A king has absolute reign and rule. He has a kingdom. You know, there is a kingdom and you can't see it. We can't see it. Men can't see it. They can't see the king. They can't see his reign. His people do. We see his hand in everything. His people do. They see it everywhere. They see his absolute reign and rule in everything. Down to the hairs on their head. He has all power. Power over heaven and earth. People. All people are his. A king and a kingdom, they're the king's servants. They're the king's subject. That's a king. They're his people. They don't exist for themselves. They exist to serve the king and his kingdom. Are you with me? See, this is like a fable today. We don't know anything about it. God's people. Simon Peter said, we have not cunningly devised fable. This is no cunningly devised fable when we made known unto you his majesty. We were eyewitnesses. Thomas, when it was all over, hit his knees and said, my Lord and my God, my King. All people, and it's all for his glory. You know that a kingdom is for the glory of the King. For the glory of the King. And as said, a king is not elected. He's born that way. But our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, even before he was born, he was king. He didn't become king when he came into this world. No, he was king long before that. Listen to this. And I have so many scriptures. Who is sufficient for this? I'm talking about the king. A little peanut pauper preacher. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and justice in the earth. You know, there's no justice. There's no judgment in the earth. Yes, there is. And Jesus Christ is it. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. That's what a king does. Takes care of his people, provides for his people, watches over his people, protects his people. And his name, this is his name whereby he shall be called Jehovah Tsidkenu. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. That's who he is. He was king long before he came. But when he was born into this world, you know what they said? You know what the angels heralded? You know what the wise men said? Where is he? Where is he that is born king? And who was it? Herod? It's Herod. Oh, I'm king. No, you're not either. The king has come. And he's born. Where is he? They said, we're looking for the king. And Herod said, well, you find him, you bring me word, I'll bow to him too. You will bow. You will. Every knee shall. They came looking for the king. You know what? When they found him, where was he? In a barn. In a stable. The Son of the Most High God. The King of the universe. Born in a cow stall. A manger. What's a manger? That's a place where sheep eat. Why did he do that? Because he was born king of the Jews. Oh, he was king of angels. Oh, he's king of devils. Oh, he's king of the world, king of everything. He came to save the Jews. Who were they? The poorest, the worthless, most worthless people on earth. But they were God's people, weren't they? He was born king. And I was going to go to Matthew. I was going to go to Isaiah. Child is born, a son is given, call his name Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Of his reign there's no end, his government there's no end. He's the king. Born king. He lived, though, I do want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 1. born a king, but born in poverty. He lived as a son, lived as a subject of a king, and born as a pauper. The richest, most glorious, high potentate of heaven and earth lived a pauper's life. Born a pauper. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. And oh, how glorious is the book of Hebrews. Chapter 1, verse 8. Here's what God says. Unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness. It's a scepter of thy kingdom. Kings held scepters, didn't they? They held this thing in their hand. Remember Ahasuerus? You remember Esther? He held out the golden scepter of acceptance. He holds a scepter of righteousness. It's his kingdom. God gave it all to him. Christ. He's the king. When Christ came, what did he come preaching? What was the first thing out of the mouth of the king who came? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Meaning, the king is here. The king is here. Look at Hebrews 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of the devil, that is the devil, and deliver them. Remember that? Who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And it goes on to talk about our faithful high priest came, live as a pauper, live as a man, live born of a woman, made under the law to redeem them under the law. Look at chapter 3, verse 6. Christ is a son over his own house. Whose house are we if we hold fast confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end? And one more, Hebrews 5. Look at verse 8, 5, verse 7. In the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. And though he were a son, though he were king before he came here, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that call, and all them that obey him. King of the Jews. He lived as a son. He lived as a subject to his own law, to the Father. He lived as a pauper, the poorest. He was in disguise. He veiled himself. He robed himself in flesh. The king took off his royal garment and came to this earth, veiled in human flesh, and none can see who he was, except those whom he revealed himself to. I once heard a true story of a king, a sovereign in olden days, who purposed to release a prisoner. And he disguised himself, supposed to be a true story. He disguised himself and went into one of his own prison house. Okay, he disguised himself as one of the prisoners. He was numbered with all those malefactors. He became like one of them. Okay? And he was talking to various ones of these prisoners. And one would say, I don't deserve to be here. I was framed. Or it was my upbringing. Another one says, it's my upbringing. And this one and that one and that and the other one, they blamed it on this and they blamed it on that. Until finally the king found one poor fellow sitting in the corner with his head in his hands weeping. And he came up to that poor fellow who was weeping. And he said, what's wrong? He said, I'm here because I deserve to be here. He said, I'm here because I killed a man. And I did it in vengeance and malice and wrath. I did it because I wanted to. And now I'm so ashamed of it. I'm here because I'm supposed to be. And I ought to be here. And he said, I am scheduled to die on tomorrow. He said, and I deserve to die. But I sure would like to have mercy. And the king said, then he took off his disguise. He said, I'm the king. He said, you're coming with me free. You don't belong with all these innocent people. I purpose to be kind to you and merciful and gracious. And that's our Lord. He came. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repent. And every sinner, every guilty sinner that deserves to die, he says, you won't die. You won't die. So our Lord then himself died as a malefactor. He lived as a pauper, as a son, as a subject under his own law, second Adam from above, and he died as a malefactor. I was going to Isaiah 53. He was numbered with the transgressors. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. We rejected it. We despised and rejected it. But surely, yes, surely, he's the surety. Surely he hath borne our sorrow. Surely he hath borne our grief. By his stripes were healed. Do you see that? And surely will one say, after they see what he's done for them, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and salvation. Numbered with the malefactors, our Lord became sin on Calvary's tree, and God killed him in our place, God's people. Jews. Who killed him? The Jews did. He came to his own. He was a Jew. And he came to his own. His own received it not. Why has happened to the Jews what has happened all over these years? There's so many minorities in so many countries that bemoan how they've been treated. None have been treated like the Jews. No race of people ever in the history of the world has gone through what the Jews have gone through. Look it up. You know that slaughter of the Jews at the Holocaust? That's the tip of the iceberg. Go all the way back to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, kill them all. All the babies, kill them all. When Christ was born, kill them all. Right? And all on it went. Why? Because they rejected the Christ. They rejected the Christ. But he came to save the Jews. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. Now he arose after he died as a malefactor. He arose and ascended to the throne in heaven where he sits right now as king and ever lives. King, reigning, ruling, King of kings and Lord of lords, especially of the Jews. Now this brings us to this question. Who are the Jews? Okay? Stay with me. Stay with me. I got a timer right here. I'm not going to keep it. Oh, if we could just sit here all day and listen to this with rapt attention. Huh? Who are the Jews? Who did he come to save? Who is he king of? He's king of. The Jews over there said, it's not our king. Don't you love when he was crucified, Pilate wrote over his head, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews. They said, don't write that. He said, I've written it. Take that down. He said, nobody's going to take that down. And he wrote it in every language. Why? Why did God have that petty king, pauper ruler, Pilate write that? Because that's who he is. The king. Not only of the Jews, but of the Gentiles. You know, when Peter preached at Pentecost, he stood up that day and you know what he preached? Or who? Christ the king. He said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified. You've taken with wicked hands and crucified the Lord of glory, whom God purposed before. God purposed before this to be done. He said, and now God hath put that same Jesus, whom you crucified, made him your king, Lord of Lord and King of kings, sitting right now on the throne, and your life is in his hand. And Simon Peter sat down. No invitation needed. No bribing, no begging. God struck fear in their heart. Fear of who? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the King. Like he said in Psalm 2, kiss the Son. Just come to him, bow his faith. He's a merciful, gracious, kind, loving Lord and King of kings. He'll accept all who bow to him, all who call upon him, all who repent, all who ask for mercy. The King of Israel, he's merciful. King of the Jews. Who is a Jew? Paul said he's not one outwardly, but inwardly. Circumcision is not made with hands, but of the heart. It's God's work. It's something that God does on the heart. And Paul said it in Philippians 3, we're the true circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit. Can you quote the rest of it? Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. No. That's the marks of God's Jews. Circumcision of the heart. The Jews. Now listen to this. Our Lord is King of the Jews. Our Lord reigns over His people. He reigns over all, but especially His people. Listen for your comfort. Listen for your comfort. The Lord reigns over you. The Lord rules over you. The Lord controls everything about you. As said, even to the hairs that fall out of your head. Yes. The Lord takes care of everything about you. He controls you. He provides for you. He careth for you. He provides everything for you. In the days of David, here's wonderful. David the king fought all his life. Wesley, David fought all his life from the time he was 16 that faced Goliath, as our Lord did Satan, till the day of, he was 70 years old. He fought battles. He himself was taken up for dead, wounded. What a picture of Christ he is. David fought every one of God's people's enemies and he conquered them. Every single one of them. Alright? Then he, on his deathbed, and if you want to hear this Wednesday night, I'll preach from it. 1 Kings 1. Where David didn't abdicate, but he put the crown, the throne on Solomon. He put Solomon on the throne. He bowed to the sun. David said, you're king now. And you know, in the days of Solomon, the son of David, not one arrow flew through the air. Not one battle. Not one war. It was peace for 40 years. What a picture that is. Christ is both in David and the son of David. It says, every man dwelt under his own vine and fig tree. Peace and joy and prosperity and everything. And I know who was at Solomon's table like David. Mephibosheth. He made sure old Mephibosheth was taken care of every day, all his life. That's our king. It's our king. He reigns and rules over us. He is our king. We're his people. He's our Lord. We're his subjects. He's our shepherd. He's our shepherd. We're his sheep. He's the master. We're his disciple. He's our father. We're his children. He's our husband. We're the bride. And he takes care. And I was going to go to the Song of Solomon and just tell you how much he cares for the bride, how much he loves the bride, how much she loves him. What do you think about all that? About him. What I've been saying. See, he reigns over them, but he reigns in them. He rules and reigns in them. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God's people love to have it so. Whereas there was a time we say, I will, I will, I will. And then he does this work. The king's arrows are sharp in the hearts of his enemies. And he makes you from an enemy to a friend, from a foe to a beloved. And he pierces that old hard heart and makes you willing in the day of his power. Makes your knee bow and your tongue confess. And makes you glad in the heart. Say, I want this man to reign over me. I need this man to reign over me. I love that he reigns over me. I don't want any reign. I don't want any control. I can't do anything. He's my king. Is that you? Is that you? And you must be a Jew. He's the king of the Jews. He reigns over them and he reigns and rules among them. He lives among them. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's the shepherd. You never leave the sheep. He said, I'll never leave you. Can you turn one more scripture in closing if you feel like it? Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19. Just one more, okay? One more. This is wonderful. Yeah, I've tried to talk about the king. Revelation 19. Where do you begin here? Well, it says in verse 6, I heard, as it were, a voice of a great multitude, a voice of many waters, a voice of mighty thunder, and say, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Oh, let us be glad. Are you glad our God reigns? And rejoice. Give honor to Him. The marriage of the Lamb is come. And His wife hath made herself ready. You know, this is like a marriage supper. This is like the rehearsal dinner. You know that? This is the rehearsal dinner. You ever been part of a rehearsal dinner? At my daughter, when her marriage came, it was a joyous thing. I loved her husband. I loved her. Everybody did, and that's why they were there. And we had a rehearsal dinner, and man, I enjoyed it. This is the rehearsal dinner. In verse 8, to her was granted she would be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. The fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write this down. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. Who? The angel, the preacher. He said, don't do that. I'm thy fellow servants of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes as a flame of fire, and on his head many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but himself, he himself. Clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine white and clean, linen fine, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that he should smite the nation, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay. Brother John, come sing a closing hymn about the King.